I had a sermon prepared to preach this morning to you on. I'll come to it next Lord's Day. It was in the greatest prayer that God's people could pray. But something happened this week, and this old earth of ours received another terrible shaking. And it was impressed upon my mind a word that we were reading in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Perhaps we could just turn to that chapter, Matthew chapter 24. And it tells us there what Jesus said about his second coming. The 24th chapter of Matthew and verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. It's very important to note that last line in the catalog of marks preceding the second advent of our Lord, and earthquakes in diver places. Now turn over in your Bible to Mark's Gospel. And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, there is a reference there that is very important at verse 6. And it says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows." And then, if you go on over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, you will find another important reference. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and verse 11. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places. When you turn over to the book of Revelation, you will find all these things confirmed. Revelation at the 8th chapter. The 8th chapter of Revelation. And what does it tell me there? It tells me there that there will be a third angel sounding, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became Wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone for not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. And then we turn over further in that book of Revelation, and we turn over to the 14th chapter. And in the 14th chapter, we have another important reference. If you look with me at verse 18, and another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Perhaps today at home you will take time to look at the last two chapters of Daniel, and then you will have time to look at that great prophecy of Christ concerning the 10 virgins, 5 of whom were wise, and the other 5 were foolish. These are solemn scriptures. Christ is putting forth his confirmation that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. There is an opinion that has been stated that the disciples looked for a quick appearing of Christ. And it would seem that they expected it during their lifetime. Now, there's nothing in the New Testament that says that. Although it does say that in such an hour as we think not, the Son of Man cometh. But now, 2010 years have speeded past us. Now we are seeing a world in which these scriptures can be verified. I remember listening to a modernist preacher once, and he started to ridicule the scriptures, and he attacked those scriptures that said all the world would see these things begin to come to pass. He says, how could they? Well, in this age of advanced science, everybody can see what's happening 10, 20, 30,000 miles away. It's all seen. And this week, we saw very clearly this earthquake. and all that it threatened the people about. I hope you prayed and asked God to stay his hand, because it must be a terrible and frightening thing to see your whole place at home shattered in a moment too of time. The cries and the tears and the wounds and the sickness and the deaths and the fires and the earthquake in a diverse place. But it is a fact that we're coming to the coming of the Lord. Now, when you read the prophecy of the five virgins who were wise and the five that were unwise, it strikes me when I read that they were had a common sin. Both the wise virgins and the foolish virgins went to sleep. They went to sleep. And although five of them were wise, they were still overcome with sleep, as well as the five that were foolish. You have a picture of a sleeping church. And today, the Church of Jesus Christ sleeps. There needs to be an awakening. And the Lord, I believe, today is working in such a way that we shall be awakened. There's one thing that you can be sure about, that the Lord's coming has never been nearer than it has been now. There's one thing you can be sure about, that there will be a cry go up as it went up in that story of the virgins. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now that was a cry heard by the foolish as well as the wise. It was an awakening cry. For all 10 virgins responded to it. But they needed light to walk the way of God. And there was only enough oil for those that brought it in their lamps. And 5 of those virgins were in dark. One of the signals of the Lord's coming is God awakening the church. Both those that are foolish within its ranks and have not got the faith once for all delivered to the saints, and those who are really truly the Lord. They both have the common sin of sleeping, resting, giving the body what it wants, but denying the soul of what it needs. That's the religion of our day. When you talk to people about making sacrifices, as far as prayer is concerned, when you talk about to people about giving up sleep for an hour to spend it in silence at the throne of grace. They just laugh at you. Some of them, in their folly, says, when God wants to do these things, he will do them anyway. God has certain rules and laws set out in his word. Every I of those rules and law will be dotted, and every T will be marked. God does never go back on his word. And we need to be aroused from the very depths of our slumber, because the slumbering church itself is evidence of the truthfulness of this book and its prophecies and its warnings and its exhortations. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. But before he comes, we can expect the earthquake in the diverse place. And we have had an example of that. We have also an example of what the Bible talks about this whole world, like a drunken man staggering. And we have the staggers of the world continually set before us. This is a sure warning from God that those that understand will know that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And those who don't understand are those in the blackness of darkness now, and will be, if they are not converted, be in the blackness for all eternity. If you turn over to the book of Daniel, not now, but when you go home, and look at the last three chapters, and then bring to your mind the story in Matthew 25 of the wise and foolish virgins. You will find that both dovetail together. And both bring a very vivid warning before us. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, we see the restlessness, the weariness, the sleepishness, the tiredness, and the corruption of God's people. And we see God's people asleep, while the powers of hell have a field day. The saints of God are asleep. That's not what I say, but that's what God and his Son warned us of. And then when we turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3, we are warned that the world to which Christ will return will be a world of knowledge. There never was a time in the history of this planet that there was more knowledge. Much of it will not bring any comfort to the heart or to the soul. But as it increases, it produces pride. And pride is the arch sin that damned the devil originally. And then, as we look at that portion of prophecy in Peter chapter 3, we will see the people running to and fro. And this is a day when Peter runs, when people are running to and fro. You know, God gave a day of rest, the Lord's Day. Was there ever a generation when the Lord's Day was more attacked and destroyed as far as the 10th commandment is as today? And the Tory party, conservatives, having a leader that has said that if Jesus Christ was about today, he would support the gays. You think of that. That's his last statement. He would support the gays. And now he turns Sunday, the Sabbath, to political ends. And we have the official Unionist Party lined up in that alliance. What a sad day this is. When ye see these things begin to pass, lift up your heads, for thank God your redemption draweth nigh. Our Lord is now rejected and by the world disowned, by the many still neglected, and by the few enthroned. But soon he'll come in power, for the hour is drawing nigh, and the crowning day is coming by and by. Who are on the Lord's side? I want to be on the Lord's side. I want to see these things as he sees them. And then if you turn in Mark chapter 4, you'll find that before the Lord comes, there'll be religious knowledge. He'll not come to an irreligious world, but he'll come to a world which has a religion without God, without Christ, without the Bible, and without the things of God. And then in the other scriptures that you'll find in Matthew 13, Luke chapter 8, you'll find a prophetic fulfillment of all that Jesus Christ has spoken. And there's one scripture that the Lord brings to us. It's about the final harvest. And he tells us that there was an evil man who sowed tares among the wheat. When did he do that? When the servants of the owner of the property were asleep. And my, as the Christian church is asleep, what tares are being sown by the power of the devil. And they grow because there is a double development. There is going to be a reaping unto life and a reaping unto death. They're both going to run together. But Jesus tells us to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. So this earthquake brings a message of the Almighty Christ to our hearts. You can expect it, and more to follow, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And what should we be doing? We should be wide awake. We should be like the children of Israel, our staves in our hands, our clothes upon our bodies, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I was reading this morning, before I came out to the service here, I was reading in Paul's writing in 1 Thessalonians. Maybe we should just turn to this verse as we close this message. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we have here a word from God. But of the times and the seasons, verse 1, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Night time. When men sleep. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night. And they that are drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are off the day, and here's what we have to do now. We have to be sober. We have to put on the breastplate of faith and love. We have to put on the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, hallelujah, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. May God indeed bless that final exhortation and see that we are obedient to it.